This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Adding some gross weight to the gross domestic product. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The government today revised upward its standard measure of the economy. GDP measures dollars changing hands, and there was more of that last quarter than first realized, with GDP rising at a 4.1% rate when annualized. Chris Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Chris, you don't see GDP above 4% all that often these days. That send shockwaves through the market?
Well, yeah, you would think it would, right? But no. Actually, we're looking at almost no change in bond yields. Stock market looks pretty quiet, too. So a big yawn from Wall Street today.
Maybe it's because it's the Friday before the holiday and everybody's checked out.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And in fact, we're anticipating very thin trading for the rest of the year.
Now, GDP went up, though, for decent reasons.
Yeah, this was a much better looking report than the last one. You'll recall a month ago, GDP was revised to 3.6%, but that was mostly because inventories were pushed higher. This time, it's consumption of services. One of those services is healthcare. And it's also business investment in intellectual property, mostly software. So we like to see stronger demand. It's the strongest growth there since 2012. So bottom line, it looks like consumers were, in fact, getting over the big January tax increase, finally.
Economist Chris Lowe, FTN Financial. Let me say, before we go, have a great holiday.
And you too, David. Thank you.
Negotiations over a trade deal among a dozen Pacific Rim countries, including the U.S., are expected to restart next month. This after the latest round of talks stalled. One sticking point is intellectual property, which is of great interest to Hollywood, which wants to protect its copyrights for as long as possible. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Hollywood doesn't want free trade to mean free illegal downloads of movies or bootleg sales. Anissa Brennan is with the Motion Picture Association of America. She wants the treaty to follow U.S. law, which doesn't allow moviegoers to film what's on the screen, then sell illegal copies.
If you go into a theater and you record a film without the permission of the theater owner, that is a criminal act.
Brennan also wants the trade deal to extend copyrights to the life of the author plus 70 years. Bill Watson is a trade policy analyst at the libertarian Cato Institute who advocates free trade. He says U.S. negotiators have taken Hollywood's position, which isn't very popular.
To the extent that other countries are unwilling to take on these obligations, it threatens the viability of the agreement.
Watson doesn't think the movie protections the U.S. is pushing for will derail the agreement, but he says it's putting stress on a very fragile deal. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Marketplace is listener-supported. I know that just goes in one ear and out the other, but it means it is supported by listeners like you. So to keep our coverage compelling, up to date, up to the minute, if you can, make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift in any amount will support your daily dose of business insight from us. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. You can donate by going to marketplace.org by the end of the year, December 31st. Thanks. The price of the digital currency Bitcoin went on a roller coaster ride this week after China's government made it virtually impossible for Bitcoin exchanges to accept deposits in Chinese currency. One of those exchanges is called BTC China, the biggest Bitcoin exchange in the world. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz takes us inside BTC's operations in Shanghai.
For a global exchange handling nearly $100 million worth of trading a day, I was picturing shiny glass offices overlooking an impressive trading floor. But when I arrived to the office of BTC China, I squeezed past two dozen employees cramped inside a 1,500-square-foot room to get to CEO Bobby Lee. Lee says 6 months ago, when he started BTC China, this tiny space worked fine.
But to our surprise, roughly 6 months ago, we're now practically full. We have 30 people here. And it's been a wild ride.
It's fast.
Very fast. It's Bitcoin time. Very fast.
And in a Bitcoin minute, Li's Bitcoin exchange just lost its ability to accept deposits in Chinese currency. The People's Bank of China told third-party payment providers, Chinese equivalents of PayPal, to stop working with Bitcoin exchanges.
A third-party payment company is critical to our daily operation. If we are ever told that we no longer have the ability to work with third-party payment companies, then certainly our business model is going to be at risk.
Before China's government became involved, a single Bitcoin was worth more than $1,000. Today, it's worth half that. This roller coaster ride is thanks to Bitcoin's enormous popularity in China, a country where people have few good investment options and where speculating is sport. It's attracted a certain type of person. 9 of every 10 Chinese who owns Bitcoin are like office worker Xiao Xiao, male, under 40, and college educated. Xiao says he's not scared of China's new Bitcoin rules.
China's government hasn't completely banned Bitcoin here. In fact, it can't. It can try to ban investment in Bitcoin, but it can't stop it.
It is a digital currency, after all, says Xiao. As long as you have an internet connection and at least one place in the world that allows an exchange to operate, Bitcoin will survive. When I tell Xiao how much Bitcoin's price has fallen this week, he looks surprised. He hasn't been checking the markets.
I didn't know the price dropped that much. I think I'll wait a couple of days and see what happens.
And if the price of Bitcoin drops further, Xiao says he'll buy more. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
And if Marketplace joined this media frenzy of naming words of the year, we'd have to say Bitcoin. There's news that online retailer Overstock.com will start accepting Bitcoin as payment in early 2014. Overstock's CEO Patrick Byrne is a proud libertarian, and libertarians like their Bitcoin because it's a means of exchange that's not created by government. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.